Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
I know every Congressman Joe Courtney is interested in farmers because farmers are a hidden block of people who do really God's work in this country, feeding us all. Some people say, well, Connecticut, does Connecticut have any farms? Hell yes, they do. Go ahead and talk about it.
Well, Saturday night I was at a statewide co-op meeting, which had hundreds of people in the room, and that was just a slice of the ag community in the state of Connecticut. And we have a lot of greenhouse ag, because gardening actually is in the Northeast is the most biggest consumption of greenhouse products in the country, which is kind of an interesting little fact.
Well, what do you mean by that, greenhouse?
In other words, the nurseries that do shrubs and flowers, and you probably have shows on your station.
Indeed, we do.
And they're probably really popular.
They are.
and as a result, you've seen this very quiet but impressive story of growth in the nursery sector of agriculture. And in Connecticut now, that is number one. We have dairy, we have specialty crops, we have aquaculture, growing oysters down in Long Island Sound. The explosion of locally grown farmers market, it's everywhere out there right now. So
is this good or bad?
I think it's terrific. Okay. And, and it's a good development in terms of people's eating habits at the end of the day, because, we have issues in this country.
But how come we can't pass a farm bill?
Well, it's a massive piece of legislation. It's always controversial. There's people who think it goes too far in terms of protecting producers with, various programs and subsidies. I actually think, it's not perfect, but they've made some real steps forward in terms of eliminating the more outrageous level of subsidies that are out there and replacing it with more of a risk insurance model where there's more skin in the game for producers. And then obviously it, deals with issues of nutrition, the SNAP program, which, historically nutrition has been joined to the producer side in the Farm Bill as kind of an urban-rural coalition to pass a Farm Bill. The House Republicans, when we voted on this bill in the preceding months, put these outrageous changes into SNAP, with drug testing and work requirements, which anybody who's close to a food bank or any kind of soup kitchen knows that you would really just drive people from being even close to food secure if you make those kinds of changes. So the conference committee has been meeting, House and Senate. It sounds like, there's definitely been a lot of good movement in terms of eliminating the more outrageous aspects of the nutrition program. The threshold requirements have been dropped. There is going to be a change, apparently, in terms of the application process, which New York and Connecticut, I know, are going to be looking at very closely.
What's that? What's the application process?
So right now, if you fill out an application for energy assistance,
right,
which is a pretty simple process, no asset test, and get even a small benefit, I'm talking like a dollar benefit, that triggers an automatic eligibility for food stamps. And not every state uses it. They're talking about raising the threshold of what a minimum benefit has to be, which, again, we're working with the Governor Malloy and the people in Hartford to just sort of determine how Connecticut, and I'm sure Governor Cuomo is doing the same, to see how they can sort of make sure people aren't going to get hurt by that change. So that's something we're keeping a very close eye on, and I frankly have not sort of decided yet where I am on the final here. But again, there's no question they made a lot of good progress. It's a five-year bill. It gives producers a horizon in terms of just what the rules of the road are so they can plant their crops.
But if we don't, Joe, I'm sorry, if we don't pass it, there's going to be hell to pay, particularly in a gallon of milk.
That's right. Again, the baseline law in the U.S. goes back to 1949, and all of the measures that have been put into place to stabilize milk prices and protect producers would evaporate, to use a bad pun, at some point in probably February or March. Secretary Vilsack has been trying to, kind of like the Treasury Department does with the debt limit, sort of find ways to kind of hold on as long as he can. But at some point, that's going to end. And you're right. You're looking at over $7 a gallon.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Now, I'm told by one of your colleagues, a secret source, no, not really. Yeah. I just can't remember who, told me that Boehner himself, the speaker, has skin in the game over milk pricing. You know what that's all about?
Yeah. The last 3 years, there's been a lot of effort with the milk producers, because as you remember, when the economy crashed in 2009, the price of milk crashed. It went from $19 a hundredweight down to $9. In other words, it cut in more than half. And we lost a lot of farms around the country. And you know, when you lose a farm, it doesn't come back. It's gone.
Sure.
And so what we tried to do is come up with a program that stabilizes the price and put some disincentives for some of the big factory farms out west to overproduce. Because when they drive the prices down, then it kills, you know, the guys that are in your listenership area and my district. So,
sure.
But Boehner, Speaker Boehner, you know, is somebody who's always been a big advocate for the processors, you know, the Kraft cheeses, the guys who like low prices.
The people who buy cheap milk and then sell it for more money.
Correct. And that's really where the battle is on dairy right now.
And he's on the side of the middle guys as opposed to the little guys, is what you're saying?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not on the conference committee. He's not on the ag committee, obviously. He was apparently years ago.
Well, but they'll do what the speaker tells you.
He actually made a comment that if the Dairy Security Act, which is the program that I think is a good compromise, was in the bill, he wouldn't bring the bill to the floor. So you're right. The speaker has some say over how this unfolds. So that's where, again, there's a lot of negotiating up to the final minute on that piece, which, as I said, we haven't actually seen the bill yet. It's a very closed negotiation right now, which I don't have a problem with that, because that's
how you get things done.
Right. But at some point, we're going to, you know, have to dive into this thing when it's released.
Joe Courtney, very quickly, we got 3 minutes left, but I wanted to spend it on how the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare to some, is doing in Connecticut.
You know, I would say, comparatively speaking, quite well. We had a governor who embraced it. They had a really good team that set up a functioning website. Obviously, you know, decoupling the state from healthcare.gov eliminated a lot of the really messy problems in October, November, even early December. We were about 84,000 in terms of enrolled, and that's probably a conservative number. Some of the Medicaid numbers are still slow coming in. That exceeds the projections that we had, and I think we're on target to a really solid, solid enrollment by March. I mean, the interesting thing in Connecticut is the majority have been in private plans and not in Medicaid, which is a very encouraging statistic, because you know, it's going to provide some stability to the pricing going into the following year. I've been to enrollment fairs in the district. You know, I just sit in the waiting area there. I'm no press, just kind of hanging out, talking to people. And I have to tell you, Alan, it's quite moving to sort of see people, you know, who've done their thing, signed up for a plan, come out almost in tears, because, you know, this one woman from New London, yeah, you know, she hadn't had insurance in 3 years, worked two jobs, and, you know, she got a nice Blue Cross plan, $90 a month, and, I mean, the relief you could see on her face that, you know, she had insurance, you know, it was really, as I said...
That is moving.
It's really moving.
Yeah.
And it happens over and over again. I frankly wish the press would spend a little time, you know, outside of the bubble of Washington and go, you know, talk to real people.
The Times had a great story on some of the Medicaid people.
Yes, I saw that today. It was great.
And what the introduction of health care for the first time in these people's lives means to them in terms of their psyche and their family and everything else. It's astounding.
Yeah, I mean, there's fixes we need to do, there's improvements we can make, but, you know, we crossed a threshold in January about, you know, pre-existing conditions, discriminating against people for gender. I mean, this is an important step, but frankly, I talked about it on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah. Well, Joe Courtney, you are Marvel. We thank you for doing this for us. It's always great. I know it takes time, and I know how busy you are. We thank you, we appreciate it, and we can't wait for you to come back for the next round.
Oh, it's a pleasure,
so
Alan.